I wonder if any of you listening are also going to see Hamilton tonight or maybe this weekend. I'd love to hear from you. You're excited? I'm excited. Here's some more. Those series of independent essays are, of course, the Federalist Papers. I am familiar with what's in them, but I have not really ever finished reading them because, damn, that's some thick language, man. If you ever picked up the Federalist Papers or any of the other sort of contemporary things, like, it's hard to read. It really is, truly, even if you understand it. It's just dense language.
Don't feel bad. I had bought a copy of the U.S. Constitution. I tried to read it. I couldn't do it, so I bought the Idiot's Guide and the Dummy's Guide to the Constitution. And that still was like...
Was that easier?
I get the gist of it, but it's like, oh.
Yeah, no disrespect to the Constitution. Love it. Really love the Constitution.
I totally agree with the parts I actually can, like, retain, and I was like, yeah, that's good.
It's a little boring. The Constitution. I might like to see the movie version, if they make such a thing. Here's a text message that says, "What's up, Ian? Commenting on the Nike shoes, I would definitely buy an American-made pair or two and keep them in mint condition. In 50 years, that $100 pair might be so rare, because as soon as all this tariff stuff is over, I'm sure Nike is going to be built in Chinese warehouses again, but you'll have the American-made version, which will be a distant memory, but a valuable one. What do you think?" I think it's a great idea. I think if you get a pair of shoes at Nike that were, like, assembled in America, in some number of years, maybe that'll be worth more. I don't know. Everybody should be celebrating this jump in the Dow today. Let's see. What did we ever land on here? I want to look at today. Okay, so we ended up 2,962 points. That is, let's see, that is the biggest net gain in the Dow Jones Industrial Average of all time. The only other time that we've gained that many points or even near it was March 24th of 2020, when we got just over 2,100 points. So this is good. I'm glad to see him back down on the tariffs, despite an entire week of him and all his advisors and all his buddies saying he's not backing down. No way. He now has backed down. He told reporters at the White House that people were getting, quote, a little bit yippy about days of market turmoil. Who is he talking about that got a little bit yippy? Are you talking about the Republican senators? You talking about your cabinet members? They were getting a little bit yippy. Well, that's what I heard. Here's a text that says, and the Dow Jones average is still 4,000 points less than it was when he took office. Also true. Hey, springtime is here, man. It's time to focus on your lawn and garden. There's nobody who can do that, who can help you more than Dan Gill, the host of The Garden Show here on WWL. You can meet Dan on Saturday. He's going to be broadcasting live from Banting's Nursery on the North Shore. They got the largest selection of plants in Southeast Louisiana. Love me some Banting's. Dan will share expert tips, answer your questions, and help you cultivate the perfect outdoor space. The Garden Show with Dan Gill at Banting's Nursery on Highway 190 in Lacombe. Looking forward to that. Also, LSU baseball this weekend. They're going to be taking on the Auburn Tigers Friday. First pitch is at 6 o'clock. Also 6 o'clock on Saturday. Round 3 is Sunday. First pitch is at 2. The Pelicans play the Bucks in Milwaukee tomorrow. Tip-off is 7 p.m. only, mercifully, 3 days left in the NBA regular season. Let's see what else that I want to talk about here. Oh, the Jazz Fest contest. Yeah, you can enter a contest here at our website, WWL.com. Enter to win a pair of tickets just by going to WWL.com/contests. All you have to do is type in your email address and pick a gender and check the box that says, I want emails or I don't. That's all you have to do. I did it earlier this afternoon in 35 seconds. And I even screwed it up a little bit because I typed in WWWL.com. But you can do the whole thing in probably 30 seconds and win tickets to Jazz Fest for the first weekend. You can see Pearl Jam, Luke Combs, Dave Matthews Band, Harry Connick Jr., Santana, Trombone Shorty, and Orleans Avenue, and many, many more. You can do that at WWL.com/contests. The 2025 Ponchatoula Strawberry Festival kicks off Friday at noon. In just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Festival Chairman Tristan Miller, who will give us all the details on that festival. Looking forward to that. conversation and that festival. Back to the Oakland Art Jewelers Talking text line. We find Janice on line one. Good afternoon, Janice. What's on your mind?
Hello. How you doing, Ian?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you today?
I'm hanging in.
Yeah, no doubt.
I always enjoy you. You do a really good job. I have to say that.
Thank you. I appreciate
very
it.
Good at what, you're very good at what you do.
I appreciate that.
There's something I wanted to mention here. Oh, the other day, Trump said they're kissing my bleep.
Yep.
Word starts with an A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was quite something. Now, here's the deal here. I'm not always going to be down with everything a person does. I don't care who the person is.
Sure.
Now, here's something that has me a little worried. It says, President Donald Trump's administration has ended a FEMA program heavily relied upon by Louisiana that paid to elevate homes, build levees, which of course we need, and do other work to lessen damage from storms, calling it wasteful and ineffective. Now, I don't feel that FEMA is wasteful and ineffective any more than I feel that Social Security is wasteful and ineffective. There are some things happening here that I do not like, and I do understand why the people went out in the streets the other day. Now, I think it's 202-456-1111.
Mm-hmm.
And the earlier you call in the day, the better it is. And you could leave a message, leave a comment, the White House.
Yeah.
Because we need levees. We need protection here from floods, from things happening.
Yeah.
So, yes, there are things that are happening that I do not agree with. Mm-hmm. And I do find that when you're conservative, such as I am, and I'm not ashamed of it, but you want to look at the other side, and you want to look at things on an individual basis, and you're not down with somebody 150%. Sometimes people just get a little irked with you, you know? They really do.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. I have to look at things from a different perspective. I cannot say that what he's saying about FEMA is good, because it is not.
Yeah, I'm with you, Janice. I think, you know, if the feds are going to give us money to elevate homes and build levees and sort of harden ourselves against future disasters, that's less money than they have to spend on us after the disaster strikes, right? So this is a good investment. And there are people, you know, in this audience and on social media and elsewhere who say, well, FEMA doesn't need to be doing that. You know, that money can go to the states, and the states can decide how that money is spent. And I don't think that that's a great idea, because I don't think, you know, the governance structure in our state and in many states is really built for that in a way that we should feel confident that that's going to be used in the most efficient way, or that's going to get the right outcome that we want. I mean, Jeff Landry is even saying right now, we cannot afford the river sediment diversion project. We cannot afford the pay raises for the teachers. Like, in what universe?
Yeah, that's what I had read the other day. They said that I had read the other day that the states are saying that they're not, you know, that's not really something that really is their thing. They don't have the means to do what FEMA can do.
Yeah, broadly not in favor of doing away with entire branches of the federal government. I mean, the reason that we have FEMA in the first place is that states do not always have the resources to respond in the best possible way to disasters that may befall them. We didn't always have FEMA. It's a fairly new creation, really, if we're talking about the history of our country. So if the circumstances that led us to create the agency have not changed, I don't think we should change it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I really don't. And anyone agrees with me on this, you can call 202-456-1111, leave a message. And, I mean, you know, we all need to stand up and speak out. We really do. And you know, it may not do any good, but, I mean, you have to try.
Janice,
it's better to do it than not do it.
We everybody listening, whether they agree with you politically or not, really appreciates that you give a damn and that you call the mayor's office and you call your congressman and you call your senator and you call the White House and you let them get a, you know, you give them a piece of your mind. And I think that's very admirable. And we're all really proud of you for doing that.
Yeah, my husband always used to ask me why I did that, you know, because, you know, I told him, I said, I realized maybe, you know, I'm not saying that the president's going to get my message or he's going to know about it or anything. I said, but I just feel like I need to do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
I got to pause us here, Janice, but thanks a lot for calling and thanks for listening today. I've got to get to this situation. But, oh, yeah. So they're going to ban cars on Bourbon Street. Maybe. The consulting firm says you should ban the cars on Bourbon Street. It got me thinking, what else could we ban on Bourbon Street, right?
Yeah, I've been anticipating your list because I know, you know, you're very close to that area.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder because I can always escape and go to the West Bank whenever I'm done with my foolishness. So I don't get the, you know, experience the stuff you experience.
The West Bank, the promised land, the best bank. The number, and look, this is just for fun. I'm, you know, don't take this too seriously. The number five thing, I'm going to go from five to one here. The number five thing I would like to see banned from Bourbon Street in the French Quarter: mule drawn carriages. If you ever gotten stuck behind one of those in a car, you know what I'm talking about. Over here, you can see this house was built in 1791, and it's haunted by the ghost of whatever. And it's like, I'm trying to get to work.
Do they still use mules? They use mules?
Where
did you find a mule at?
I don't know, a mule breeder. I don't know anything about mules. I ride a bike, man.
Those jackasses.
Cute. Number four thing I would like to see banned in the French Quarter on Bourbon Street: the kids with the buckets.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
And look, I guess somebody out there could make an argument that, you know, they're learning the skill of playing the drums and they're getting a little extra money for their family.
No, they can be annoying, though. I can understand.
They're annoying. Give them some drums. Can we not shake a couple $1,000 out of some grant program or some NGO or nonprofit somewhere and get some actual drums for these kids? I don't mean like a drum set, but, you know, like the hand drums, like they play on Congo Square.
Yeah, but the buckets make it, they look more like downtrodden and poor if they use the buckets. If they get real drums, then they're not going to look as poor, so you're not going to get the sympathy.
I would be very curious to see if there's a difference in the amount of money that one kid makes playing on an upside-down Home Depot bucket versus an actual drum instrument. Just thinking. Number three thing I would like to see banned: T-shirt shops. There's too many of them. I'm not. You can have like maybe. Let's say you can have four. You can have four T-shirt shops. After that, it's too much.
That's surprising. That's surprising.
Why? What's surprising about that?
I don't know because they all
sell the exact same Chinese crap. It's all these gaudy T-shirts about drunk one. I got bourbon faced on the street, whatever. You know, I'm over it. I'm over it.
What would you replace them with?
I don't know. A flower store, a coffee stand, print and ship, FedEx. I don't know. I don't care. Well, you don't agree.
No, I'm indifferent because they don't bother me.
He's ambiv. All right. Number two thing I want to see banned from the French Quarter and Bourbon Street: those monks with the beads. You know what I'm talking about?
That's kind of on my list. Not just the monks with the beads, but just anyone selling like third party bead vendor. Just people on the street like, hey, I got these blue beads.
Hey, I got these beads I just picked up off the ground. I'll give you five for a dollar. It's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I guess that must work for some of those guys because they're obviously out there making. But I'm specifically speaking about these guys. I don't know.
I know you're talking about like the monks. They actually have like the monk outfit.
Yeah, they're wearing like a monk robe. But then it's easy to see underneath the robe they have jeans and sneakers on, which kind of, you know, okay, I get it. If you're going to be walking around all day, you probably want some decent footwear. But it screws up the visual. Here's a Tibetan monk wandering around Bourbon Street and St. Anne, the Fruit Loop, trying to hand me, you know, beads. And then it's a scam. He's like, hey, here's these beads. Give me a dollar. I don't know what even they do with it. My mother.
Like a Tibetan piece offering?
No, I don't know. It's just some. He just probably bought it from the T-shirt shop next door, you know, 5 minutes ago. My mom was down here last spring, and she got tired of being accosted by these guys, and she said, "Would you just knock it off?"
Let's say, you got the monk scam down, so they just switches to like Amish or something different. You think they're going on more sympathy for the bees?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because I think I got respect for the Amish people. They stick to their guns. They don't bother other people. They don't they don't push their lifestyle on
even
you.
Even if you can still see their jeans after they're Amish.
They can have jeans. I don't know. I mean, Amish people can. I mean, they have jeans. They can like make their own jeans, I would guess. All right, the number one thing I want to see banned from Bourbon Street and the French Quarter: dancing Darth Vader guy.
Okay.
You know the guy?
Saints Vader. Yeah, I know.
Saints Vader.
I've actually interviewed him once.
Oh, my God. What happened?
Yeah, when I worked for Bayou. Oh, he just talked about how I got to the whole dancing Darth Vader deal.
I can't stand that guy.
Not too many people do that, I realize.
We're all here to do what we're all here to do. He's making a buck. He's doing his thing. That's fine. But it just, frankly, it just pisses me off that you can just put on a costume that you bought at Walmart or whatever, a trademarked character, and go wander around the French Quarter, and people will take a picture of you and think like, oh, isn't New Orleans charming? No. No, we don't do that here. You can go do that at Times Square. You can go do that on Rodeo Boulevard or whatever in Los Angeles. Here, we're more creative than that. We put a little more effort into our street performance and vending.
I'll tell you some stories about that guy when we get off the air.
Yeah, I know we got to kind of go
here.
You
know the number one thing I would ban from Bourbon Street?
What?
Pasties. Because Bourbon Street was so much better before they had to wear pasties. Now it's like, it's not the same.
It's just not the same. What the hell happened to this place? We'll step away and get a look at traffic with Courtney VIP. And then we will be talking to Tristan Miller from the Ponchatoula Strawberry Festival. If you want to text in something you would like to see banned from Bourbon Street in the French Quarter, we'll talk about that too. I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot. Be right back. What a great song, man.
Jump on it.
All right. Anyway, excuse me. That's Sir Mix-a-Lot for you. He had another song. Who knew? Joining us on the line right now is Tristan Miller, who's the chairman of the Ponchatoula Strawberry Festival. Tristan, thanks for making time today. Appreciate you.
No, thanks for having me.
This is the 53rd year. Wow. For folks who have never been up there, what's the vibe at the Ponchatoula Strawberry Festival? What makes it different from other Louisiana festivals?
Well, in my opinion, I'd say what makes it different. One, we are the only one, at least to my knowledge, that I can think of. We're the only festival that has nothing but nonprofit vendors on our grounds.
No kidding. That's huge.
Every single booth you will see is operated by a different nonprofit, and they also all sell something different. No, you won't find two booths selling the same item.
That is too cool. I had no idea. Wow, that is unique. Excellent. How many strawberries are we talking about here, Tristan? Are we talking about like a dump truck of strawberries or like an Olympic-sized pool of strawberries? Paint the picture for me. How many strawberries are we selling?
way too many to count. There's strawberries galore out here this weekend. There's 15 different farms that'll be on our farmer's row all selling berries and jams and jellies and
yes,
and everything they can make with them. They're picking more than they can count, so we're going to have more than they can count.
Is there one food item that always sells out that's a sort of perennial favorite?
Honestly, it's kind of almost like the berries. There's too many to count. So many booths sell out every year. They all have great food, and yeah, most of them sell out. I know the fried oysters from the Charlie Landry Memorial Scholarship booth, they sell out all the time. Our local Knights of Columbus Hall with their crawfish fettuccine, they sell out year after year. A lot of them do,
Yeah, so it's not just the food. Of course, there's music as well. You got a huge music lineup. Who are some of the bands or performers you're most excited to have on the schedule this year?
So my personal most excited for will be the Mixed Nuts. They are a new band.
Yeah.
That, I'll be honest, I personally requested. That first time they've ever played the festival.
Good, good.
Very, very good band. Besides them, you know, we have some returners, Paper Chase, the Dominoes, Peyton Falgoot, Thomas Kane, Kings of Neon, you know, we have a lot of great acts playing over this 3-day span.
I saw Kings of Neon. You remember, Coleman, you were there. We saw Kings of Neon at the, what was it? The Mad Hatters, the Magical Mad Hatters Bash. That was the big band that night. We love Kings of Neon. All right. And then there is, of course, the iconic Strawberry Eating Contest, which always draws a big crowd. Any legends returning to the competition this year? You know, what's the current record? Tell us about the Strawberry Eating Contest.
So, as far as any returning champions, anything like that, I'll be honest, I don't know. Because there's no pre-sign up. It's when we announce it, you walk up and you're in it.
So I could compete.
You could, yeah. Give you some insight on how it works is you'll have a pint of strawberries, roughly between 5 to 8 of them, give or take, depending on the size. And whoever can eat the most strawberries the fastest, or can eat those strawberries the fastest, stem and all. That is the one catch.
Oh,
you got to eat the stem.
That was my follow-up question. Do I have to eat the stem?
Yep, you got to eat the stem.
Hey, man, that's the rules. That, you know, you got to do it. You got to abide by the rules. Okay. I mean, I don't, in my 41 years on God's green earth, I don't think I've ever eaten a strawberry stem. I have no idea what that's actually like.
I'm right there with you, honestly. I mean, as long as I've been on the board, as long as I've lived in Punxsutawney and attended the festival, I can't say I've ever eaten the stem myself.
How many strawberries does somebody have to eat before they're politely asked to leave?
Man, there ain't no limit. You eat as many as you want. We'll keep feeding you.
Okay, man. All right, you got strawberry royalty. Tell me about them.
So our royalty this year, first we have Louisiana Strawberry Queen 53, Miss Alexis Lee, a great, great, great representative of us. We couldn't be more proud of her. Then we have our Strawberry King, Mr. Daryl Poche, one of our local strawberry farmers. He owns and operates Landry Poche Farms with his wife. Our Blossom this year is Miss Chris Threaten. Her and her husband run Threaten Farms out in Springfield, another strawberry farmer in our midst. And then lastly, we have our parade grand marshal, Miss Rhonda Sheridan, a great, great woman, helps us out year after year. She is, we say she runs the city, but she's actually the executive assistant to the mayor.
Uh-huh.
But our big, great group of royalty, they've done a phenomenal job representing us this year. And I know they're going to continue to do a great job this weekend.
No doubt. And they remain strawberry royalty until next year's festival?
So they will remain royalty until technically June 30th will be their last day as current royalty. Now, granted, we like to tell them, you're stuck with us for life. You don't get to get rid of us that easy.
It's so like a tattoo.
They'll always be royalty. They might not be reigning, but...
Did they ever... what's the right way to say this? Do they ever like kind of walk around with a little bit of extra swagger? They're like, oh, I'm the strawberry queen. I got diplomatic immunity. I get to do what I want. I'm going to speed. I'm going to double park. You know, does anybody dare to try to control these people after they become royalty?
No, I've never known any of them to do that. Usually they're the ones that you don't never have to worry about getting in trouble. They feel, I guess, they're more compelled to follow the rules being strawberry royalty than if they weren't.
What's the wildest thing that somebody's ever tried to deep fry at the Punxsutawney Strawberry Festival?
Ooh, I'd say wildest thing, and it's actually something I like, is a deep fried strawberry.
Well, that's easy. That's right out the gate.
Yeah.
It's
right up the alley, right where they need to be. But yeah, I'd say that's the wildest thing I've ever seen get deep fried out here.
I feel like I've heard Scoot talk about a deep fried Twinkie or deep fried Coca-Cola. I don't know. Maybe that was somewhere else. But.
Somebody might have. I vaguely actually recall now. Somebody may have deep fried a Twinkie one year, one of the booths.
Man, what a fun booth. I wish I had a deep fryer. I would just be like, hey, bring that over here. We'll deep fry it. I don't know
deep,
if it's going to be fun
everything.
To eat. Yeah, deep fry it. All right. I got a few minutes left here, Tristan. I want to get into some really important stuff. Abita Strawberry Lager, great beer or greatest beer?
I'm going to be honest, and hopefully nobody hates me for this. I've never tried it.
Oh, brother. Oh, Tristan. Let me tell you this, just between you and me. Coleman, turn the radio off so it's just me and Tristan. Nobody else is listening right now.
Your radio's silent. Heather, go ahead.
Get yourself some hot-boiled crawfish.
And oh, yeah.
Drink an Abita Strawberry. If you're a drinking person, if you're not, you know, I don't mean to be rude, but I can't imagine a better pairing. I can't imagine a better pairing than hot boiled crawfish and an ice cold Abita Strawberry. Prove me wrong.
I'll have to try that.
I hope that you do, sir. It's good. It's really,
you're
really
back
good.
On the air.
Okay, thank you, Colin. I'm really being super serious this time. I got to take a break, but then I want to come back and ask you about the sort of details, you know, parking, information, security, what you can bring, what you cannot bring. Can you stick around another 8 or 9 minutes?
Yeah, not a problem.
My guy, Tristan Miller, is the chairman of the Louisiana Ponchatoula Strawberry Festival, which kicks off this Friday at noon. If there's anything else you want to know from him before I let him go, shoot me a text, 504-260-1870. I'm Ian Hoke, sitting in for Scoot. He'll be back soon, and I'll be back right after this. Tristan Miller is on the line with us. Tristan, thanks for hanging out. I got a couple text messages from the Okunart Jewelers Talking Text Line. Here is a text that says, how long do they keep records on the winners I won in the late 1970s? I think the texter is talking about the strawberry eating contest. How far back do those records go? Do you know?
Oh, I'll be honest. I don't know. We might have it sitting around somewhere in one of our booklets, which, because, you know, we keep copies of that year after year. If we really wanted to try and find it, we might could, but I'd be lying to you if I told you for sure.
I don't expect you could just name off the top of your head who won the Strawberry Eating Festival 50 years ago. Here's a text that says, hey, ask him about my wine. I have a bottle of homemade strawberry wine from the Strawberry Fest in 2008. Can you tell me if it's still good? I have not popped the cork.
Woo. I'm going to be honest, I can't answer that one either. I'm not a wine man, so I don't know. Now, I've always heard they last a long, long time, so it might be.
Yeah, I would try it. You know, I mean, I think the thing about wine is it's not going to kill you. It'll just taste bad.
They say it gets better with age, right?
They sure do. Yeah, then it must be good. Well, I guess that's grape wine. I don't know anything about strawberry wine, but it must be good. It'll just age and get better. Okay, man. After everything we've been through as a country and as a community, security is more important forever. What have you guys done to make sure that everybody stays safe here?
So some security changes we have made this year. You know, if you come out, you will see bigger, stronger barricades, you know, around our park, blocking the roads. You know, you'll see big one-ton sandbags and vehicles and things. Gone are the days of the, you know, just the plain metal barricades. Mm-hmm. You'll see double the law enforcement. It's something I'm very happy and proud about. You know, you'll see roughly 40 law enforcement officers just in the park at one time.
Wow. That's great. Good.
Give or take a few, but, you know, that I'd say that's probably our biggest change. Few other things, you know, some smaller things, cutting out golf carts, things like that around the park.
Let's move to that.
Things of that nature.
You've kind of adjusted the list of things that people cannot bring into the grounds, right? So what should people not bring if they want to avoid the walk of shame back to their car?
Not bring, unfortunately, and I know we all love them, but this is probably seems to be one of our biggest things we have to tell people about every year is pets. I know we love them. Yeah. We want to take them with us. Unfortunately, we got to leave our pets at home. Another thing is any type of glass is not allowed on the grounds. Let's see what else. Any aluminum cans, it is plastic only, mm-hmm. or in a cup. No backpacks. Diaper bags are acceptable. Purses are acceptable. Let's see. No tents. You know, you can't bring your big tent from Academy or Walmart, you know, your 10 by 10 and set it up and listen to the band to give you shade. That's really our biggest yeah. no-nos for the most part, you know.
Cool. I mean, if there's anything you're not sure about, you can just go on the website. I'm sure there's a complete list there.
Anything I haven't mentioned, if you don't see it, check out our website, LAStrawberryFestival.com. They're all listed on there, the do's and don'ts. You know, it's all listed there and on our Facebook, Punch Tool Strawberry Festival.
In the audience, we have a certified wine specialist who's just texted in to say, an inexpensive wine like strawberry wine probably won't hold up over 5 to 7 years. You age a fine wine, usually something over $30, but my final solution would just be to open it and taste it and see if it's drinkable. I think that's good advice. I wanted to know also, Tristan, we spoke about the nonprofits that run the booths at the beginning. How else does the festival support the local community up there? You know, the farms, farmers, small businesses, Ponchatoula, etc.
So just say all in all, you know, big way we support our farmers is Farmers Row on the 200 block of North 6th Street. Portion of our grounds. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you'll find 15 different farmers. They sell a lot of berries that weekend. Another thing we do to help them out, we do our strawberry auction, which was done a couple weeks ago at our Strawberry Day in the Park, where we, you know, we judge all, they submit all kinds of flats of strawberries. We bring some judges in to judge them, and then we turn around and we auction every single flat off. You know, none of them went below $200. Some of them went in the upwards of $1,500 a flat. All 100% of that money does go back to the farmer.
That's great. That's great. Man, this conversation. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. As far as our community goes, you know, we try and do what we can, you know, just bring people in. A lot of these local businesses do very, very, very well this weekend from what they like to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it all in all, this weekend does a great, great, great deal to the local economy of Ponchatoula.
I love it. I love it. I really, really have enjoyed myself at this festival in the past. I can't wait to hear how everything goes. Tristan, thank you all, everybody on your team, for the great job they do, your time, your work, and your way. And may I also submit, while you're picking out the strawberry royalty for next year, I know you got a king and a queen and a blossom and all that. If you need a strawberry court jester, I'd like to throw my hat in the ring, sir.
I'll keep that in mind. Keep that in mind.
Tristan Miller is the chairman of the Ponchatoula Strawberry Festival. Thanks again, man. Have a great time this weekend.
Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
We'll step away here and get another look at traffic with Courtney VIP, but let's go out with this one. Crank it up, Coleman.
Strawberry wine, 17.
So good. All right, let's get out of here. Thank you. Ian in for Scoot. Be right back. I got to thank Jordan, Coleman, Diane, Dan, and Scoot for the opportunity, and thank you very much for listening today. We had a great time, didn't we? Hey, coming up on Sports Talk with Mike and Steve, Deuce is in the house. He's going to be here at 4:20, they'll be talking about LSU spring football at 5:20. They'll get a look at the running backs and Mike D's draft notebook. At 6:25, Mark Schlereth, our Odyssey NFL insider. Huddle up with the pros. Weekdays at 4 p.m. on WWL. Hey, crank it up one more time. Let's see if I can still do this. Well, let me welcome everybody to the wild, wild west. A state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness. So wear your vest. It's it. Put it in your ears. It's grest. I've never been the best, but it's... sucks. Hey, anyway, I had a great time. Scoot will be back tomorrow, I think. Here comes Sports Talk after Chris Miller. So bad, dude. Adios.